You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Ali LaRouge podcast on the Blood Red channel, bringing you the view from the terraces at Liverpool FC.
Welcome to another Ali LaRouge. We're going to be doing the season review. I'm Peter Hooton, your host, and I'm joined by the big guns for this one because we're reviewing Liverpool's season and also talking about football in general. I've got John Coleman, Accrington Stanley manager. I also got Tony Caveney, who is not the manager of the Egbert Downs, but he's the secretary. I think he got a bit of stick for that last time. I don't know whether I introduced him or it was, I don't know what happened, but he is not the manager of the Egbert Downs who got beat in the final. So anyway, you know, both of you involved in football, heavily involved in football. I mean, how would you assess Klopp's season? You know, a lot of people have said, you know, that it was a transitional season. But I mean, what was the, John, in terms of a manager, how would you assess the season?
Yeah, I think he'll be disappointed with himself. You know, I think we were on the cusp a couple of years ago of Liverpool and Man City pulling away from the rest.
Mm.
And we did too for a couple of years, two or three years, and they were challenging for all the top trophies. And possibly the writing was on the wall with the first game, wasn't it? You know, was it Fulham? Was it the first game?
Fulham game, yeah.
And, you know,
second to every ball, really.
Yeah, it just didn't feel quite right. And I think we've had periods like that in the past, and we always find a way to come through it. And, you know, the time when we pushed City close and then the time when we won the league, how many times were we behind and you just knew we were going to win? I'm not saying playing particularly well, but you just knew we were going to score.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you just don't find a way. And, you know, certain players didn't probably have the best seasons or compared to what they've done in the past. And we just all of a sudden, every team fancied the chances of scoring against us. And I think, I know people, a lot of people go in for this expected goals thing, but
yeah. The
expected goals against Liverpool were far higher than what they should be.
Yeah.
And in the past, you know, Alisson has had to make one-on-one saves, but he's having to make more. And then if you're having to make more, you're going to concede more.
Yeah. Tony, I mean, in terms of, and no one, I mean, when we were, this time last year, when we were having the Paris inquests, no one envisaged the drop-off, did they, of Liverpool Football Club, the way it happened. So, do you think Klopp was taken by surprise as well?
Yeah, he must have been. When you think about the Charity Shield and everything was Unky Dory going into the season then,
yeah,
the drop-off was unbelievable. Now, what he was associated with us was fighting. Like, let's not make no bones about it, even when we were winning things, we weren't playing teams off the field. But we had the mentality that we're not getting beat.
Yeah.
And like a point would be a good point or something, you know, 3 points would be brilliant. When that wasn't happening, teams were going ahead. There didn't seem to be a fight for the first half of the season. I say since Christmas they backed up a little bit, but still not to the levels they maintained. But there was no the big players in the team, if they're not playing, the surrounding players,
yeah,
they don't get carried by them as much, do you know what I mean? And then, I'm not saying going to the shell, it's a bad show, but it didn't seem to be that fight and cohesion. And like, you think, you know, like about foot, Klopp was scratching his head, but going back to Klopp, I think some of his substitution, some of his decisions as well, you know what I mean? Was he questioning himself?
But surely, you know, last summer,
it was a generation change.
We nearly win the quadruple, you know, we just fall short. That's when you invest in the squad, isn't it?
Well, you'd like to think you're threatened from a position of power, but if we're honest with ourselves, we didn't finish the season well last year. I know we won two trophies and we could have won four, but we didn't finish it anywhere near like we were midway through the season. You know, we limped to a draw against Tottenham when, you know, we should be winning them games. We didn't, you know, we won two cups and never scored a goal. You know, played in three finals, never scored a goal. You know,
speak about the mental side of it as well. We're going for greatness, going going for Grimes and end up with two of the so-called lesser clubs. Did that affect? I don't know. Did the world go through in the mix?
Everyone on the internet blames FSG for lack of investment, but is it a simple case that, or is it a simple case of Klopp knows who he wants? And last year that we were getting talked about Bellingham, wasn't it? All the eggs were in one basket, weren't they? And now that's become a bit of a...
Well, we put all our eggs in one basket with Alisson and Van Dijk. Yeah. We waited for them.
Yeah.
I'd like to think we're an honourable club. And I'd like to think that we're not going to break the financial fair play rules like other teams have. And you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. You don't know what parameters they're working to. If everyone stuck to the financial fair play, they wouldn't be anywhere near the spending that does go on in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to, until you knew the parameters that they're working with.
Yeah.
You couldn't really have a comment on.
Yeah.
But we still do operate with one hand behind our back, I think, compared to other teams. You know what I mean? Like
well, the season before that, it was too Tchouaméni, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was too Tchouaméni, and then last summer it was Bellingham. Oh, we wait. So, you know, the squad's been aging, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And the midfield's been aging. And if you look at Thiago's fantastic when he's fit, but he's hardly ever fit, is he? Obviously Henderson's getting on a bit, you know what I mean? And you look at Fabinho, nobody saw Fabinho's twin brother turning up, did he? You know what I mean? No one saw that coming into You know, because at one stage he did improve at the end of the season, but at one stage it was like, this is not the same player. You know, maybe he's exhausted, mentally exhausted, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would have just said that Thiago, Fabinho and Henderson would have been your best three. I think he tried to manage Henderson, he didn't play him as much. And, you know, it's very, very difficult to knock the legs of Emma Milner because they run the heart out every time they play for Liverpool. And he's getting on a bit, Henderson, now, and he possibly physically can't do it. And I've been guilty in the past as a manager of playing players who were getting older because I trust them and I know how much it means to them, I know how much they care. So you possibly overplayed him. And I think certainly, you know, he's tried to manage Henderson.
Yeah.
I think Henderson's contribution to Liverpool Football Club is why we're talking about us competing for trophies of what he's done over the years. But eventually they come to the end. I don't think he's at the end yet, but they did say to manage him. And then if you're going to try and manage him and not play him, you need to be putting someone who's equally as good in.
Mm.
And I just don't think we had that strength and depth in the midfield.
Well, for several months, it was like Bacicek, wasn't it? He was like, he was the person who, and he looked a great player, but then he's a young player and he gets injured out for the rest of the season. So, you know, it's one of those things, I think, you know, nobody knows, as you say, John, what goes on behind the scenes. So, you know, FSG, the funds might have been there, but Klopp didn't fancy anyone who was available. So we just don't know, do we?
There was upheaval, the recruitment side, there was a big upheaval behind the scenes with them as well.
It's been chaos, hasn't it?
Like you said, when we went after people like Fabinho and the Alisson and the Salas and that, we got them. So with this French kid that went to Madrid, it didn't seem to be no backup after that. It was all like eggs in the basket for him, and then so then you're snatching around, and we'll be guilty of that, not having two lines up type things. I don't know. Just I'm getting him. Why wouldn't he want to join this tour when he doesn't?
We talk about the fellow who's come in, who no one can pronounce his name.
Schmack something.
But anyway, we talk about him later. But in terms of recruitment. Julian Moore, he was only got the job last summer, didn't he? And then he put his notice in November. The alarm bells were going then for me. And I've talked to a few journalists and they're saying, you know, it's because Klopp is so insistent on what he wants, the player he wants, and won't see alternatives and that. So he must be difficult to work with, mustn't he?
I'm
being devil's advocate here.
Who dances to whose tune? Do they dance to the manager's tune? Or is the manager dancing to theirs? They're dancing to the manager's tune. In the past, he's been proved right with everything he's wanted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so why would you go against that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Last few transfer windows, the players just appeared from nowhere, didn't they? We didn't hear about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just read about them then when they'd been signed. But now it seems to be a new policy of like, we're just linked with like loads of players again. You know,
that's football in general, though. You know, the advent of the Premier League and Sky Sports meant that football went on to a totally different level. So people want to talk about football every day.
Yeah,
they want news.
Hence why we're doing this podcast.
They do. But they want news, they want gossip, they want the latest rumours, they want to feed off rumours, they want to speculate, they want to put rumours out there to unsettle players, to make people... Mm-hmm. And it's a merry-go-round, and sometimes it can be a murky world, football, you know, I'm involved in it, and it can be a murky world.
Yeah.
But I remember going back to when I was a kid, growing up, and there was no speculation. Dalglish just signed.
Back of the Bosch.
Yeah.
You just seen him with the Liverpool scarf signing.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no speculation, he just signed. Yeah. Soon as the same, pong. So I'd like to get back to that, to be honest with you.
Gakpo was a bit like that, wasn't he? Gakpo was a bit like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And Diaz was a bit like that. I mean, most of them have been, but now we're linked with the likes of McAllister and Coney and Turan. You know, and it's like,
again,
you're going to be disappointed if
back to those structures with the recruitment. We had a strong recruitment then, so it was just like things were done behind the scenes. Fabinho, we come out when we got beat in Kiev. Fabinho was done the next day, then we knew nothing about it.
Yeah,
that was a strong recruitment team we had. Now it's weak recruitment. We had, like social media and the paper, they'll jump all over, like you said, the jungle, the Saint Jungle side of football, don't they? And it's trouble causing as well, isn't it? Plus, you've been beaten to have a go. You know, if you're doing well and then you're not doing so well.
It was a mad season anyway because of the World Cup, wasn't it? Whoever's idea that was in the middle of the season.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you used to play.
We carried on through.
Played on, but the Championship didn't.
Championship only altered for a couple of weeks. But it was ridiculous. And I think there wasn't many teams who come back firing. All the top teams had hiccups. And it's understandable with the players going halfway down the world.
One of the first World Cups you've watched, and whatever country you're playing, you knew half the players.
Yeah.
They were all in the Premier League, so it was like watching a Premier League game.
Yeah.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going back to our own team, who would you say was impressive, most improved player in terms of, it's not going to be Carvalho, is it? Because he got a few starts and then he's just dropped off the scene.
He did give me one of the best moments being a Liverpool fan, though, scoring that goal late on against Newcastle. Only for the way Newcastle acted, the goals.
For the
whole game. It did me head in. And I can't remember ever celebrating a goal as much as that. Liverpool goal. I'm even thinking back to Istanbul and I'm thinking I think I celebrated that goal more than anything because it was like justice.
I think myself with Alisson just maintained
unbelievable.
And for him, I think he caught, when you say he score goals at the other end and keep them out points wise, I think he might have improved really, you know, but only because the onus was on us, like you say, more shots on goal, weren't he, and he was pulling. But I thought he was unbelievable, by far the player of the season for us. I like Nunes seemed to be growing into the spec, and then he went at the bench a lot lately. I thought he was showing sprouts and things, and like roaring. But I think there's things with the team that you could see where it might be heading, do you know what I mean? And how he wants to play.
I think Gakpo came on, didn't he? Gakpo improved. As the season went on,
definitely.
He looked more of a threat.
Yeah.
Look capable of creating goals and scoring goals, which he didn't when he first came, and it's difficult.
As soon as he got his first goal, he seemed to like grow in confidence, didn't he? You know, it's like,
well, all his finishes are very cocky, confident finishes, aren't they? They're like the sublime, really. Some of his finishes, aren't they?
We're screaming out for a strong midfield, but I think Curtis Jones finished the season quite well.
I didn't
see that at the start.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to hold your hand up and say, well, yeah, he has done well.
Yeah.
He has finished the season well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about player of the season's got to be Alisson, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
for me, it will be.
Yeah, it's got to be. I don't think there's going to be any debate. Yeah. So, Mr. Consistent, you know, in terms of, you know, who you can always rely upon.
Salah, you guaranteed 20.
But you get the goals. You get the goals.
You might put. There's guaranteed 20 goals. You can start one fella with that.
Yeah, but he didn't score as many pens this year as well, did he? You know, I know he missed a couple, but we didn't get many, did we? I think it was 7 months in or 8 months in before we got our first pen.
I know it won't be popular with the listeners, but I'd go for Milner in terms of every time he wanted to kill a game off, he brought Milner on, didn't he?
Yeah. You know what you're getting out of Milner? He's a top, top footballer.
Yeah.
He's been outstanding. He's been one of the best signings Liverpool have made on the field, I think.
Yeah.
Seen a little snippet after the game, and I didn't know nothing about him. It said, was there an interview and it's on the pitch, and he was saying something about a 12-year contract Klopp had, a 12-month contract, sorry, 12-year, and a 12-month contract, and whether it's FSG or someone knocked her on the head. So, you know, that done my head in a bit there, because I just thought he wanted to leave for his own, you know, his own future.
Yeah.
But there was a contract on the thing, you know, thought, wow, it just doesn't make sense that you wouldn't sign him for under 12 months.
I think he'd have stayed if he'd had the opportunity. That's my own
personal opinion. Like you say, you don't know what goes on. But
a lot of fans, you know, there's collective groans when he came on the pitch, wasn't it? Because, but he doesn't play like it. Was he 36, 37? Oh, no, he doesn't play like it.
If you cast your mind back to when we beat Man City, he was outstanding at right back.
Yeah, he was.
Never give Foden a kick.
He didn't. No. He was unbelievable.
He was outstanding.
I think people forget things like that, don't they? When you know, they're just thinking lack of investments, FSG's fault. Yeah. Oh no, look, we've got a 37-year-old coming on. You know, and it's like a blink of view, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the ageism thing, isn't it? That's all it's attached to him. He's like, he still does a number that. Yeah. Like you said, that right back, if he was 20 years of age, but a shift in like that, you wouldn't say no.
Yeah, but as you say, he did not give Foden a kick. That he was brilliant. It was brilliant to watch. It was like, you know, he's just a supreme athlete, isn't he, Milner?
Yeah.
I'd like to see his stats and running. I
remember playing, we played a bounce game when they were all away on international duty, just not long after Klopp had come. And he wasn't, obviously he wasn't with the England team. And he played with most of the kids and we played them. And just seeing the way he organised, the way he... He must have, in a friendly, he must have ran 12.5k and just gave everything, bang, bang, bang. It was like, everything was reliable, everything was like consistent.
Yeah.
And I went, wow, and this has gone back 7 years ago. He's operating a darn friendly.
Yeah. Super professional. So, in terms of biggest disappointment, in terms of players who's, you know, I don't think it's a hard one, but, you know, I think it's got to be Fabinho, isn't it? You know, I think he's been on a charm.
I don't think anyone expected that, did he?
No.
I'll throw something in the mix then. I don't think Van Dijk was as good as he's been in the past. No, you're right.
His
form just went missing a lot. Yeah. Showed it in spares, but there was fellas getting away with things that would never get away with things against him.
Mm.
But you know what I mean? It's like he was doubting himself.
You just got to ask yourself the question as the injury.
Yeah.
It's affect him psychologically.
It's a terrible injury, isn't it? But,
it is.
You know, it might be psychological, because as soon as you get an ACL, anterior cruciate ligament, that is, for all our listeners.
As soon
as you get that, you know, it's in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in your mind rather than, you know, he might be as fit as he was, but he's thinking
mentally. Yeah, of course.
You know. But I mean, also, he did have a couple of injuries, didn't he, as well?
He did.
Which...
You know, I think the initial optimism of Diaz, I think he's got to start delivering more with goals and assists.
Yeah.
I think his numbers
have been out. He's been out for a season.
He has, and that's a worry that he's been out for so long.
I think he looked lively, though, didn't he?
Look lively, but you can look lively and you can deliver.
Yeah.
And it's no point looking lively if you're not delivering, if you're not making goals or you're not scoring goals.
Yeah. The other one, well, it's been a bit harsh, I thought, Tsimikas. Didn't deliver what he was doing.
Yeah.
He always come on. Or if he replaced Toro, there was no really. There was nothing between them. That's how good he was playing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? He was an able replacement for Robbo. And I thought when he started or when he came in, he didn't.
Mm.
He found wanting a better thing, but might be harsh on him.
Yeah. So who are we going for then? Fabinho.
Yeah.
Fabinho's under the bus, isn't he?
Yeah. Well,
and it's so important his position. So
it is. And the way Liverpool play, where he'd get the ball under extreme pressure and he was like calmness personified when he was good, when not when he's good, he is a good player.
Yeah.
But when he was on the top of his game, he would receive it. And then before you know, he turned and faced the opposition and made it a positive pass. Yeah.
He certainly got it back at the end of the season. Yeah, I think
I think
he came out with a statement this week, you know, about how great the fans were and all that. You know, but for me, that was a charm offensive because, you know, halfway through the season, there was a clamouring for, like, get rid of him.
Mrs. went on Twitter, didn't she? And
well, apart from...
Back
Yeah.
Also, I noticed as well a lot, teams were identifying and putting two were on them right away. So, you know, like you said, that team wasn't...
I think Klopp used to... And the staff used to call him the lighthouse, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because wherever he was always available for the ball.
Yeah.
You know, it was a brilliant description. And that went, the light went out, didn't it?
You know, we changed the first two words.
Yeah. But I'm sure he'll be, you know, he's 29, I think, for
BACK.
Me.
BACK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, favourite game? I don't think there's much choice here, is there really?
Mine was that Newcastle, honestly, for the end of it.
Yeah.
I remember being on such a high for the justice that was saved up.
Yeah, because they were absolutely, you know, they were the worst of the worst. It was like a Mourinho team, wasn't it? You know, wasting time all the time. But I think you can't look past the United, you know, beating United 7-0.
Well,
you
can't get better than that.
I mean, and it wasn't a 7-0 game, that was the thing about it. But 1-0 at half time. No, 1-0 last time. It was, you know, it could have been. They could have got in.
I went to the game at Old Trafford, right, and it was an absolute nightmare from start to finish. I couldn't get in.
You didn't get tear gassed again, did you?
Close to. I was in the director's box. I couldn't get in because they'd shut the director's box because there was a demonstration against the Glazers.
Mm. Oh yeah.
So there was 10,000 mob of angry Manchester United fans.
Yeah.
Venting frustration on the Glazers, but also on Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
And I'm stood there like a Belisha Beacon outside the thing. And I said, listen, I'm not safe here. And he said, hey, well, yeah, stand behind that copper. So I stood behind these three coppers who looked about 17. And then it all kicked off the other side of the ground, so they left. So I didn't get in. As I walked up the steps, Man United scored. But you know, when you analyse that game back, we still could and should have been in the lead before they scored the second goal. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah.
I think at that start, we didn't really get on the problems that were going to gradually develop, did we? We were still thinking, you know, because of Man U, like, it's not on them. You know, we weren't really on like
That's evidence, because don't forget, Man United were having a shocker then.
Yeah.
Brighton had come there and absolutely played them off the park, pummeled them. Other teams had given them another run out.
He was under pressure, wasn't he?
Yeah. But that highlighted for me that it was easy to score against Liverpool. Because the goals were cheap.
Yeah.
At best, cheap.
Cheap, yeah.
And I think that's got to be the main focus for next season. We've got to tighten up.
Yeah.
We've got to stop being easy to score against.
Yeah.
Which was unheard of for us, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Tony, you haven't picked your favourite game. You got my...
I'll go for 7-0, but can I say, Tully will kill me now for years. I come in on Dover in the morning and sold my ticket to the lad a few doors away, Ronnie, and I missed the game. He gave me season ticket.
Yeah. So why was that?
Because I was on Dover and I didn't want to go. So it swings both ways. It was the favourite game, but I wasn't in the ground to see it.
Yeah.
The Everton
one was good, wasn't it?
Sorry?
The Everton one was good. Well, I think the Manx talk about it now more
than we do.
Yeah, scarred them in a way, you know what I mean? And like I was saying to this man, Gladwin, I said, your kids will be talking about it when we're long gone. So, you know, you can't just say it's a non-result, it's a freak result, like the other fella said it was.
Mm. So talking about how easy it was scoring against Liverpool at Old Trafford, you know, and other games, Brentford and Brighton are other good examples, aren't they? But how many players do you think we need? Everyone's been concentrating on the midfield, haven't they? I think we need at least three new midfield players. I think the defence needs tightening up.
Well, you know, I mean, Trent seems to have a new lease of life going into that.
Still
struggling to accept it. Inverted commas. I think you've possibly just got to say, what are we going to do with him? Are we going to play him in midfield? Because he's a top player. His delivery is probably the best in... He's close to being the best in the world, delivery-wise. Yeah.
He could play up front. He's one of those players who could play up front as well.
He started off as an attacking player, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I think if we do that and we say, yeah, we can play him in midfield, well, then you've got to get a solid, established right-back who can defend... First and foremost.
Mm.
And, you know, people go on about, oh, you know, Trent can't defend and Robbo can't defend. And the harsh reality is they haven't had to defend. When we're good, they don't have to defend.
No.
So...
But as you said, in the podcast in the past, we played with two centre-halves, didn't we? And they just bombed on.
Yeah.
And, like, we didn't need anything else. Yeah. But, obviously, when we're under pressure... at the likes of the mighty Brentford and Brighton.
But at that time, you had Fabinho protecting, Henderson working his socks off the press in there, working from in to out, loads of times to cover the eye wide forwards. But you'd also had Van Dijk's undoubtable pace.
Yeah.
Is he as quick as what he was?
You just leave him at the back
one. Now people are running.
Forwards run at him and turn back one on one. I've seen that a few times. Just stop.
People are running them now.
They're taking them on now. The confidence.
Yeah. When you got Kanate and Van Dijk, it is fairly solid, isn't it? But as it was proven at Southampton, even though it was a dead rubber, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But every time they Southampton attacked, they seemed to score. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was our second string centre half. So you think, you know, we need backup there, don't we?
We spoke about like lesser teams who've got like. The impetus in midfield and like the fit and strong, and because of mayhem, ain't he?
Your Fulhams and your
Brightons and stuff. Yeah. Well, you know, like same or Brentfords and that. Because of mayhem against us with a fit young midfield.
One of the problems that you've got is that if you have a defined lack of pace in midfield, and teams think that they can exploit that area, well then they'll play a lot through the midfield.
Yeah,
and they'll try and capitalise on breaking the lines and getting away from your midfield. And you know, there's been times, I don't want this to sound like a witch hunt on Fabinho, but there's been times like he's on the travelator when he's running back. When he's not getting anywhere close to players.
Well, that's what we were, through sympathy vote, that's what we were attaching to a few of them, weren't he?
Yeah.
The knackered thought he went through last year, because you knew they weren't that slow. It was bizarre how we were trying to sum it up, weren't they? You know, because they were, like you said, they were walking in treacle, weren't they? You were like, he's not that slow. He's got to be tired. Yeah. You know, that type of thing. You were trying to come up with excuses, really. But...
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
So you'd say we'd need a right back.
Centre-half.
And a centre-half. And then three midfield players.
Yeah, and two of them got to be top notch, you think.
Mm. Like, I mean, it looks like McAllister. I mean, if that you know, doesn't go through, it'll be very surprising.
But otherwise, when it is constant on the paper and it doesn't happen, the longer it drags on, you become a bit...
Yeah,
you get a little bit twitchy, but...
But, I mean, he looks a great player.
If I could choose one to sign,
I'd
sign Declan Rice.
Yeah.
I just think he gets it on the paper. All right, people say he doesn't score enough for 100 million. Well, he'd have to pay 100 million to beat that, but I just think he's got so much energy and he will stop teams running through us.
Yeah.
And that was what was happening last season.
Yeah. And, he's linked with Arsenal now, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You know, but he's hopefully...
Bayern are the last one, isn't he? Linked with Bayern.
But
like you say, when player for player, you like continuity and like similar players, and I think... He's ideal for Henderson, he's an out, you know what I mean? Because he's on his... He could do that role of taking over as a captain, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
You could see him taking that role on.
But there's been talk about Mané coming back.
I think that's paper talk.
I spoke to Anthony Barry last week.
You have to explain who Anthony Barry is.
So Anthony Barry's first team coach, or assistant manager at Bayern Munich.
He was at Chelsea with Tuchel.
And he said he's enjoyed working with him. He said he's keen, he wants to play.
He's had a disappointing season, he said, but you know, he seems to think he's keen to prove himself then.
Yeah.
Scary thing is when you see talking the swapping Sancho Vardy for him, and he comes to Man U to play on that left, and it's like, couldn't have done that. Hard enough, we're just getting over getting rid of him.
Well, so, do you know anything about Kone and Thuram? You know,
I've seen them play, and you know, they're decent enough players, but you don't know how they adapt to somehow we play.
I think the French league's you're going to have to give them time to adjust to our league, and that's even less. If you come from the German league, you probably wouldn't take as long as it would take. I think the French league.
Well, the French and the Dutch league,
they fell behind.
I mean, I like McGinn. I know it's a bit, you know,
McGinn, great.
He's brilliant.
And
I think as a player,
for
for in a squad, he'd be fantastic for
Liverpool. So, John Doolan, who's our first team coach, he worked with him at Ibs, and he absolutely loves him. He's got a good relationship. He speaks to him all the while, and he said he's one of the best players he's worked
with. Yeah, well, I've seen him a few times at Ibs when John was the coach there. He was outstanding. He was mentioned a couple of times. But like, I mean, Mount's looking like he's going to United, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, the one that interested me was the lad from Wolves.
Neves.
I liked him.
I'd go for Barella as well. You know, would you?
It's got a great name, Niccolo Barella.
It's good for songs.
Niccolo Barella.
It's good for songs.
Some t-shirts made out of that as well, wouldn't he?
But it's all speculation, but we've got to, you've got to see four or five top players coming
in. But I'd like to see them early as well, and it's been like, what are we going to see now?
Niccolo Barella, it just makes me think of, who was the other Niccolo who played for Italy?
Bertie.
Nicola Berti. I remember what's her name? Kane's Jimmy Arfield. Jimmy Arfield was doing a commentary in the World Cup, and he went, "That's Nicola Berti. He's not but a pub player. He's playing for Italy."
Some pub. So let's move on to the players who are leaving. So, do you reckon that Bobby Loving has gone on a bit too long?
I think it's only gone on because he hasn't been playing, and to be fair, starting season, he did well, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he surprised me.
Well, it was at Leicester, it was fantastic because we were singing, it was all the kids at Leicester, and they were all singing Bobby's name for like 20 minutes. It was only Trent's goal that stopped it. You know, and it just shut the Leicester fans up singing the national anthem and all that. So it just shut them up because they couldn't count on it, you know. And it was fantastic, but you know, I saw a Liverpool commentator this week going, you know, this is going on for too long, you know, it's not a
I just think it was great that he got the goals that he did at the end. I think that was brilliant. And you know,
but how much you feel if you're Milner and Keiter I know Klopp's been bigging them up, hasn't he?
You know? But it's a boss song as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Fernando Torres song was brilliant, wasn't it?
It just shows.
You know, and when you've got a good song, you want to sing it more, don't you?
Yeah,
it was a bounce, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But even like when you look, the send off he got when our other Brazilian, he must look, Coutinho must look and go, I could have had all.
I worried his last game at Anfield. I worried it was going to be similar to Steven Gerrard. It was going to be an anti-climax because when we got beat by Palace, and that lad who went to Everton saw the back arm was, didn't he?
Yeah.
And so I was delighted when he came on and scored. You know, in that last day.
Correct. I don't think it has been too much piling it on, really.
I don't think it has, but I'm just thinking. The other players, and that's why I think this week Klopp's been bigging up Ox, being great to work with, and Keita, you know. But there was some funny twist stuff about Keita, wasn't it? You know, they're getting the plaques off Kenny Dalglish, and it was all X-ray stuff.
But you see, the Ox had something that still left in the bank, credit-wise. I think it was the injury that done him.
Yeah,
you know,
because he
think he was showing a lot there, and it wasn't just a flash in the pan. He'd had a good bit. Yeah. Giving us what he could do, so you know there was still an attachment to that. The Keita thing, I think we're all, you can say what you like about it, I think we all got involved before he came thinking he was going to be the one. I think that's why the letdown was.
Well, the Chairman Lee, as you say, before, the Chairman Lee, it's not at our standard, is it?
He's doing it against them, and then he flattered to deceive, really.
Going back to the Ox, I think Ray Kennedy is the only good import we've had who's played for that.
Yeah. No, but I mean, he did, just before his injury, he was very energetic, wasn't he? And he was getting around the pitch. He's doing well.
What I liked about Oxlade-Chamberlain is that he always looks as though he had a goal from nothing.
So,
sometimes that's invaluable.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, he scored when we were getting beat, when we ended up winning the League Cup last year.
Yeah.
Did he score against Villa when we were getting beat? Was it Villa?
I think so, yeah.
Villa or Arsenal, we were getting beat 4-1, maybe.
At Anfield, that one.
Yeah, did we draw 4-0 and win on pens? Was it Villa or someone? We were getting beat
Leicester.
Leicester? We were getting beat by
Leicester,
someone.
Yeah, it was Leicester one.
Yeah.
It was Leicester. Yeah.
Leicester.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about goals from nothing, Salah, 19 Premier League goals and 12 assists. You know.
You can't argue with his numbers. The one thing about Salah is, I don't think he's had as good a season as what he would have liked, let alone what I would have liked. But he does occupy two places.
Yeah.
Every time he plays, there should be space for other players to exploit, because they do tend to get him. He just looks as though he couldn't quite get going. And whether that was the relationship with sense wasn't as good, or because we weren't overly offensive, we were having to do more defending. Whether Mane taking the other side of the pitch created more space for him, because they couldn't put two on both of them. You know,
some of his shots were back passes, weren't they?
Yeah.
Which was frustrating, but because you know what he can do, like goal against Chelsea the cop end, you know, which was like an Exocet missile. Yeah. I want it, but you knew what he can do. But sometimes you're thinking, just give it the laces. Well, trying to place it all
the one thing that surprised me this season more than anything was he's probably one of the best ones I've seen on a one-on-one situation. He's ice purely, and you think this is a goal.
Yeah.
Whereas now when he gets through one-on-one,
I told you as well at the start of the season, like you say, the little drop-off. I remember a few times at Anfield, you know, he was always dropping back to old strength type thing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing it. I remember Henderson shouting at him on numerous times.
Yeah.
I mean, drop back and help. But you can say they were piling in on Trent. He wasn't getting the help in front of him. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I remember Henderson shouting at him.
Well, when I went to the Madrid for the Tottenham final, when we won the Champions League.
Yeah.
So I'm really high up in the stadium. And that's when it really brought home to me how hard Henderson worked to cover, to get across, to take Salah's man. And to a certain extent, Mane, but not as much.
Yeah.
But he was slaughtered him Salah that night.
Yeah. What did you think? Salah came out with the analysis of the season, didn't he? There's no excuse for this. We had everything we need to make it into next year's Champions League, and we failed. We are Liverpool, and qualifying to the competition is a bare minimum. I'm sorry, but it's too soon for an uplifting or optimistic post. We let you and ourselves down.
I think he's being honest.
Yeah. Don't you think that's like, get me out of here?
I don't think it is. Get me out of here. I think he's being honest.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's included himself in that. Now.
Yeah.
We haven't performed anywhere near to what we know we're capable of.
Alain Le Rouge on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah. But 67 points is what you finished on, so it's like 22 points behind City, isn't it? But 67 points on most seasons gets you in the top four. It's just that we've got a new kid on the block.
Yeah, and I know that, but if our ambition is to finish fourth, there's something wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. You know, after the last few seasons...
Was abject failure this season?
There's no way of polishing it any other way. I mean, I thought that last run we had...
Yeah.
You know, we thought there's a chance here if United or Newcastle drop points, but they didn't, did they? Yeah. So, you know.
No, when you sum it up at the end of the season, the last two draws, and people were going, if we did one them two games, it didn't work out like that.
The other teams wouldn't have saw the games they played.
Yeah. But like, seeing Newcastle when they got that draw at home against Leicester,
yeah.
they knew themselves mentally, they've yeah. done what the job was, and like, doesn't matter what's going on. But I thought, like, people say, no, I don't want to get up, please, I thought, you've been spoiled.
Yeah.
Hard-faced, you know what I mean?
I do. I mean, you don't play like today because you go to places you haven't been to before. So, I mean, that's all one way. That's the optimistic way of looking at it.
It was the one who called them Rapid Hardway.
Yeah, yeah.
Spartak toothpaste.
Yeah.
Plus, you see a few bodies, showbiz games in Champions League, the same games every year, innit? You go in the same places.
We got 92 points last year, and City won the league on 89 this year. Yeah. You know, so it just shows you how Arsenal didn't really push them to the end like we
but
did.
Is that the total drop off through the World Cup by all the top teams?
I think it is, yeah.
Well, it'll be hard face saying, I think it's normal service resume myself next season.
Yeah, yeah. I well, if you think about
80 plus points for us.
That time when we were behind closed doors, when we lost 6 on the run at Anfield, you know, that was a terrible season, yeah. wasn't it? Yeah. And then the next season we were back, you know. So I do fully expect Liverpool to be challenging next year, you know, I do. You know, because you can't envisage another season like that, can you?
Especially seeing the club, the team, I mean, seeing what's gone on and the way they've been, like, getting called to spend force, really, aren't they? You know what I mean? Surely, you know, they want to prove.
Surely fans from all around the Premier League, like, look to Liverpool and go, at least they push City.
Yeah,
you know, Arsenal didn't even give it a go.
Is it called Sky Sports have that overlay? Or something, you know,
overlap.
Gary Neville's. And there was a girl jumped up, they're giving this girl loads, Arsenal fan, I seen her on Twitter, and they're giving this girl loads, young Arsenal fan, she said, give her a juice, she just jumped up, she went, do you know what, if you all had a go, she said, I give Liverpool the juice, the only team that was standing up and having a go, when he's all ridiculing them, she said, if everyone got up and had a go instead of crumbling against them, she said, the league would be a lot better, she said, we're getting ridiculed for having a go.
Yeah.
He said, "Well, you know, we didn't have a go, and he just let run away with it."
Well, I was watching Arsenal, you know, like from say March onwards, and it was like agonising because they were going through exactly what we always went through.
Yeah, but
because City are relentless, aren't they? They win game after game, and you could see with Arsenal.
But
it was
ironically, it was us who derailed them.
Yeah.
That 2-2 draw.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, we couldn't get near them for half an hour, and then after half an hour. We should have won that by 6.
Yeah.
Was there a penalty missing there?
Yeah,
Salah missed the penalty. Mm. But like I say, when you see the stats from January the 1st to the end of the season, we were second to 16 points taken. And then you see like Trent was that position, when he changed that position, he was first and he was ticking all boxes first. Yeah. Chances created, man. He's like a different player, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
even Robbo, the stats, I don't know, they got a new lease of life sort of thing.
Mm.
So there was sprouts for like, you know, what was going to happen for next, you know,
I think the style of football we play, to talk about going on to this possession based thing, I can't see it, mate. When we go down one wing, we come back and we go back to the centre half against teams who are going to sit in against us playing. I hate to use this term because it makes me blood boil.
Don't use it then.
The low block. When teams play the low block, in other words, they drop off.
Yeah.
And we recycle the ball and we have 60 passes. When we're Liverpool at home, we generally get the ball back within 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So have a positive attack after 4 passes. If you lose it, you're going to get back rather than keeping 60 before you try and have a positive attack.
Yeah.
Just have more attacks.
This is the one thing.
We've had too many games where we've had very few shots. The Tottenham game was 3-0 up. The first shot we had after we gone 3-0 up was the last kick of the game to win the game.
The one thing everyone commented on this season was the slowness of the passing through midfield.
Yeah.
But we've had that in the past, and we're not good at it.
Yeah. So don't go for the Man City or possession.
You know? No, go for the dynamic approach. Don't forget, whatever way you dress it up, we are still in Pep's mind.
Yeah.
He hates playing against Liverpool.
Yeah.
And we proved that because we beat them this year.
Yeah. So, we have to round up now. But, you know, you've been listening to Ali Le Rouge and Peter Hooton. Thanks to all our listeners from all around the world. And, like, maybe just to end for, like, the end of the season. Tony, you lost in the cup final to a team from Luton.
Yeah.
I mean, is it...
St. John's, is it
a transitional season?
We've signed three good lads there as well, actually, very good lads. There were a few too young lads. Just a bridge too far, you know what I mean? We never
played Pride Park, didn't he, in Derby's ground, and it was like 7-8 coaches come down from Liverpool. Yeah. They stopped selling tickets due to safety.
Got the nod from police intelligence in Liverpool.
These are like the early farm gigs, these ones.
It reminded me of early farm gigs,
No, we never think. They were structured, disciplined, everything. They've been there before, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I give them the due. I'm saying to our lads, I'd like you to take a leaf out of their book. Because they've lost two of the last three finals, and they've never folded, never crushed them. They come back and won it.
Yeah.
So there's hope there, you know what I mean? It can be done if you want to. And I thought the level was not far off capable of winning it, you know what I mean? It was not like, you're not even for the stars to win that National Cup now, where it was like, you know, it was Dream of the Gods, wasn't it? You know, they make films and podcasts about it.
For listeners, this is, if you describe what the National Cup is.
It's like the European Cup in a way.
For amateur football.
But, you know, it's been regionalised a lot lately, and all the Liverpool clubs seem to be together. But that's for live draws, a bit of transparency, because it seems to be the Liverpool John all the time. Yeah. So we're still saying, you know, it's run through the FA. You run on the same rules as the FA, the National, the FA Cup, it's all this. It's, you're not county, you know, not county FA, it's national FA. So just a bit of transparency with the draw, so the, all the Liverpool team. But Liverpool, the city itself, has a love affair with the National Cup, really, because we've got that many...
Not that many success stories, haven't we?
But these lads were all right. These were, we found, you know, because you're not playing teams from out of... from out of the city. When you do meet them, you know, it's that like, we're scouts, but when you get to know them after, they're all the same, we're all the same lads. We're all from working class backgrounds. They're all the same. And they're good lads, and you know, the committee all take the time out for nothing to make it happen.
Oh, brilliant.
So I was speaking to them, and they were spot on, but we equalised in the last minute, funny enough. Lad, I'm balled on the line for them, sent them off. The penalty didn't even go in clean, it spun up off the goalie's head, it over him. With pitch invasion and what have you. And that was the 90th minute. So, you know, 10 minutes, going to go to extra time. It's ours. Just remember, from the kickoff, a long ball, I'd just come in and just score. Yeah, 10 minutes, blew the whistle.
Yeah.
So this all happened in the space of 30, 40 seconds. You know, the next minute was like, smack up. Give them the due. You know, they've got to win. When you look at it, what they've been through, the heartbreak the last few years. Yeah.
Well, good luck next season. And also, John... Big disappointment this year.
I mean, quite a few mistakes. It's difficult. The winters we've gone through, the last three winters have been really hard. Lots of teams have got.
You had in League One. You had the lowest wage bill, didn't you?
It was touch and go. It was like two or three. It was down the bottom. But a lot of teams have got recruitment departments now. So whereas the niche that I exploited, I always get rough players and polish them into diamonds and sell them on. We sold two of our best players early on, about the start of the season, Colby Bishop and Ross Sykes. And then we had a lot of injuries, and the players that brought in weren't good enough to consistently play three or four of them together. So the injuries sort of derailed us, but I'm looking forward to next season. I think, you know, it's a chance to reset and you know, go and have a tilt at trying to get promoted again.
Yeah.
And you watch all the playoffs, and most of them... An Aki player was playing him, an ex-Aki player was playing him.
Yeah.
Jordan Clark scoring and going to the Premiership. Yeah. Josh Windass scoring at Aberdeen. They're going into the Championship Shepherds Wednesday. They were our players, so...
Yeah.
You know, so I think...
Well, I always try and look at your...
You
always try and get your... you know, on Atkinson's Twitter, your after-game interviews. Because they're always quality.
I just try and be honest, honestly.
John and Cookie, you look for out
of way and get them to. No, they're always quality. And like when you went, you know, very honest about it.
You have to be, and you know, there's a lot of fucking nonsense. Sorry, you shouldn't be swearing. There's a lot of nonsense talked about in football sometimes, and people want to speak with the buzzwords and all that. And what will never go out of fashion in footy is scoring goals and players working hard.
Yeah.
And if you get. If you got your team to work hard and have a modicum of win games, the fans will respond to that, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're hoping, Liverpool, will happen next year. Yeah. That there's a new enthusiasm. Yeah. Like, put that season behind you, a new enthusiasm when we go with City again.
A new stand.
Well, there'll be a new stand, yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Thanks for your contributions there. You've been listening to Ali LaRouge. Thanks to everyone who listens, to all the Blood Red podcasts. See you in a few weeks. Thank you. Alley Le Rouge.
You've been listening to the Alley Le Rouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel.